Good morning, brethren in the Lord. Please, are we all faring? By God's grace, we are also good and we thank God for this opportunity he's according us this morning to worship him and listen to his priceless oracles. We continue with a series of lessons we drew from the theme One Another. And today we want to look at carrying one another's burden. Bearing one another's burden. And when we talk of burden, normally our minds go back to our olden ages where we had to go physically to farm and carry a load of firewood or something for home. And sometimes you remember that during those times, you may meet a very old woman that is carrying such a heavy load that a young man or lady will approach to help her carry the load. In that vein, you will see the woman relieved of the burden of the load she was carrying. And so this morning, I want us to relate with our individual loads that we have as human beings, as we want to pass through quickly, things that will help us understand this topic, bear one another's burden in the Lord's church.
If this
is the first day you are worshiping with us, you are mostly welcome. This is the Lord's church, and it is a prayer that you will worship with us and receive the blessings from the Almighty God. The phrase to bear comes from the Greek word bastazo, which means to carry, to take up, or even to take away or carry
off.
In the same way, when you go to the Hebrew language in the Old Testament, it uses masa and fortune, all describing a burden to be a weight, troubles of life, load that could be emotional, physical, and spiritual. And when you put this together, to bear a burden therefore means to take away or carry off the weight someone else is experiencing. In a sense, you are bringing some form of relief and comfort to someone else's challenging situation. And whenever we talk about this, we have an example, for instance, about Moses in Numbers chapter 11, verse 14, when he complained to God for relief. And so in Numbers 11, 14, Moses said, I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me.
And Moses got ready to say, hey, ready, thank you for this already. More to me
and And this is the kind of burden that as individuals we are also carrying.
Now when in this way, say I'm cranking, yes, yes.
And so a burden is the perception one has that what he is doing or facing is more than should be reasonably expected in the normal course of life. A burden sticks with you. You become continually mindful of it. This burden is often a distraction from other pursuits. And so, if you have ever had a heavy burden to carry in life, you know what a blessing it is to feel that someone cares about you and is willing to help you bear it. I want us to have a mental picture of the burden discussion we are having this morning in the Bible. And we shall look at this in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 to 14.
Exodus 17, 8 to 14
gives vividly a picture of a burden and how the burden carrier needs a relief. So let's turn our Bible to Exodus chapter 17:8-14 and read. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at
Rephidim.
Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses has ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with a sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered. And make sure that Joshua hears it. Because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Brethren, this is our mental picture of a burden carrier. If you like, try it and see. Raise up your two hands for some minutes. And you will see how it feels. How painful it will be, and how difficult to continue to maintain that stance. Now Moses never just raised up the hand, he had a rod also in the hands. And so he realized that when he raised up the hand, then the army of Israel was winning. But because he was a human being, he was getting weary. And anytime it calms down a little, then the Amalekites are winning. So Aaron and Hur held their hands steadily. They realized that this is where our victory lies. And made sure that they supported Moses to be so that the whole nation of Israel became successful. Maybe let me give you a little background of the people of Amalek. And even the people who had been fighting against the Israelites all along. We have begun to say that sometimes it is not only physical burden we carry. Something emotional, sometimes psychological, sometimes spiritual. These are all burdens that could be greater than what our might could ordinarily be able to stand. So when I give you the background of the people who had been disturbing Israel all along, you would appreciate the burden, psychological, emotional, that the Israelites were carrying. Amalek is a brother to Israel, and you won't believe it. Why? Because Amalek was the grandson of Esau. According to Genesis chapter 36, verse 12, it says that the grandson of Esau was Amalek, and it is believed that is the founder of this nation, the Amalekites. Then look at another nation also we are going to talk about, Moab. And Ammon. These are also brethren of Israel. Why?
Where Israel in Yanum Subi?
In Genesis 19, we could read that they are the sons of Lot.
Now Lot and Ma and Isa Moab for
when they fled from Sodom and Gomorrah, and the daughters realized that there was no man coming to them, they picked the bad habit of sexual perversion from Sodom and Gomorrah and slept with their fathers, with their father. And so they gave birth to these two, Ammon and Moab. They became the nation of Ammon and Moab.
Ammon and Moab, no kai lot, a bra, I'm free. You just see no more, no more PV. Sodom, no. And the mama, no more die. Now, some of them, no more PM.
Then Midian. Midian is also one of the nations that disturbed Israel on the way.
Midian for us, I'm in Israel for one.
And if I tell you where Midian came from, you also be surprised. Midian was the son of Abraham.
Abraham, but any Midian.
And so we can say he was the half brother of Isaac.
Isaac,
Genesis chapter 25, verse 5 to 6. So Amalek, the brother to Israel, attacked Israel. Exodus 17 that we have read.
Amalek, Israel, only Israel for you.
Moab and Ammon. That we have said they were the sons of Lot, together with the Midian, the son of Abraham, also hired prophet Balaam to curse Israel when they were on the way coming.
The Moab and the Midian for no matter far come for a friend saying, "Come share for money and Israel for Ebeku."
I am putting this in perspective for you to appreciate the burden, the surprise, the betrayal of a burden that the brothers of Israel portrayed in trying to disturb them on the way. And so as Moses stood there with the hands raised up, he was carrying more than one could think about. It was psychological or emotional. It was physical. It was spiritual. At that time, the Israelites had just rebelled against him. That why did you bring us here? Then there is no water for us to drink. It was betrayal again because God had saved them through the Red Sea very soon. And just they reached them, they started to complain. The burden was too much for the leader, Moses. And so he needed help. As we are speaking throughout, let this picture continually be in your mind. The hands of Moses raised with a rod. And he's going to do this from sunrise to sunset until the battle is over. A burden too heavy for him to carry. He needs assistance. And so carry one another. This burden is in perspective that God intentionally created us to be carriers of one another's burden to be successful. Let me quickly mention four reasons why we should carry one another's burden. And God willing, Wednesday I will talk about the other reasons how we should carry one another's burden. The first reason is that to make our burdens lighter. To make our burdens lighter. And just as we read in Exodus 17, when they carried one another's burden, Aaron and Hur helping Moses, the burden became lighter. As Joshua was also fighting on the ground, the burden became lighter for Moses. As the Israelites were all fighting, the burden became lighter for any one of them. And from sunrise to sunset, they were able to be successful. And so when we look at how they took the stone, put it under Moses and etc., you realize that without that, Moses wouldn't have been successful. When you come to the New Testament, in Acts chapter 4, verse 34a, there is an interesting passage we read about there. At the beginning of the church, the Bible said there was no needy persons among them. I find this amazing. In the early church, that there were no needy persons among them. Brethren, it doesn't mean that people didn't have needs or burdens. It means that they carried one another's burden, and so their needs were always met. Just as it was with Moses and his people. The second reason why we should carry one another's burden is to help ourselves. While we are carrying one another's burden, we are helping ourselves. Remember the mental picture once again in Exodus 17. That by helping Moses, they were helping themselves. Remember, Aaron was the high priest at the time. And it was a responsibility to ensure that God's nation or army is victorious. And so by helping Moses, he was helping himself. And so when we help one another, it means we are helping ourselves. And that is something we need to appreciate. Carrying one another's burden enables us to pay our own attention and help ourselves. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, there is a powerful, straightforward, interesting passage there. Galatians 6, 2 is saying that carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. This is a powerful message. Fulfilling the law of Christ. The law people have from time immemorial tried as much as possible to obey, and they could not. The law of God that people have established so many religions to see how they could please God. And it's not possible. The law of the Israelites, about 613, that they could not obey and they were confused. You are saying that carrying each other's burdens is okay to fulfill the law of Christ. That is wonderful. Brethren, the Bible tells us that we don't owe anybody apart from the love we owe each other. When you love others, you complete what the law has been after all seeking. That's Romans chapter 13, verse 8. And so you see that it is important for us to help each other, because by doing it, we are helping ourselves. There is nothing you can do to be able to obey Christ apart from helping one another. Three, to become the hands and feet of Jesus. When we help one another, we are becoming the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. There are two of the greatest promises of Jesus he ever made. One is Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. The other is Matthew chapter 19, verse 29. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said,
yes,
come to me. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is Matthew 11:28-29. Now let's look at Matthew 19:29.
Matthew 19,
and And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wife, or children, or fields, for my sake, will receive 100 times much and will inherit eternal life.
Matthew 19:29.
Brethren, a yoke is something Jesus would have made in a carpenter's shop. A yoke that Jesus mentioned here would have been something you could have made from carpenter's shop, for he was a carpenter. It is a wooden frame joining two animals, usually oxen, at the neck, enabling them to pull a plow wagon together. The function of the yoke is to make the burden easier to carry. And so I listened to the word of God and I came to Christ. I heard Jesus saying that if I come, I have left mother, father, brother, and sister, he will give you more. And he has told me that he will give me rest if I come to him. And I came and I couldn't find it. What do you think will happen? When Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest, he meant it. From the time man fell in the Garden of Eden, man began to seek for his own way to satisfy God. But it was not possible. Because there was no forgiveness of sins. So there were a lot of things. Touch this. Taste this. Don't touch this. Don't look at this. All laws were just trying to ensure that man would be able to come near to God, but it was not possible. When Jesus Christ came to die for mankind, he removed all those religious rites that were a burden to mankind. And so the first aspect of come unto me is a religious burden that the Israelites and the Pharisees were carrying, that they needed help. In that first part, how are we going, Jesus finished, he has established his church, and we are here. How are we going to ensure that the salvation process continues? How are we supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus? Instead of legalism, vainglory, pride, comparing oneself against another, defining sin by our own dictionary. For the Pharisees, anytime they talk about sin, it is sin that they are not committing. They will never mention things that they are committing. And so when they mention sin, they define it in a limited way, and they mention things that they are not part. Talk with them for all the pomposity. And they don't know that all sin is sin. And they tried as much as possible to deceive people. In the church of Galatia, they introduced this legalism there, deceiving the people to compare themselves against the best. I am better than you because I am not doing this. The people became proud in the church of Galatia. And when a brother sins, they will try to see those who may not have committed that sin at that particular time will reprimand the person in such a way that the person will leave the church and go away. In Galatians chapter 6 verse 1, you will see that he mentioned that they should take time and talk to the person in such a way that he will come back to Christ. Galatians 6, 1 to 5. And when we are able to do that, we are becoming hands and feet of Jesus to continue the work he started and said, come unto me, all you that are heavy burden, and I'll give you rest.
Yes,
and so it is important for us, As we go through this series, to watch
that.
Brethren in the Lord,
with
the second aspect of Jesus' promise, how can that be fulfilled? How can we become fathers, mothers, brothers, and sisters to others? No wonder we hide under the wrong notion that the church does not save. Because what we are doing with the church, sometimes you wonder if somebody tells you that this is the church that saves.
When
I see people debating about whether the church saves or not, I laugh. Because the church is the body of Christ and is the head of it, and he said it doesn't save. Yes, it doesn't save because we have turned the church to be something else. All forms of greediness and backbiting, petty, grievances against one another. Sometimes you may wonder, you don't know that you even have a problem with a brother. Until something happens and he tells you that I have something against you in the church.
They
become very petty, unnecessary things, holding grudges. And it reminds me of what the brothers of Isaac did to Israel. When Abraham's wife died, he married another woman called Keturah.
Now Abraham, Keturah.
And he gave birth with Keturah with six boys, six sons. And if you look at one of them, Midian was among them troubling Israel. And you realize that when you read the passage, you see that when Abraham became old, he gave all his property to his son because God said, in this shall your family be named.
But
the other six sons and Ishmael, seven, the Bible said he gave gifts. And this, they never forgave Abraham and his descendants. That's why the father, it came from God, that I will also make you great. And so this is where it should be. They troubled Israel. They rejected God. And until God destroyed all of them, they were still them.
Israel, Ishmael, Israel,
so if you are a member of the Lord's church, that he has forgiven us all our sins, and you hold grudges against one another, sometimes the person even doesn't know that you have a grudge against him or her, like the people, and hold on and follow on. And how will we be able to carry one another's burden? How?
Why
we always ask God to forgive us our sins? How do you hold grudges against ourselves? Then you will confidently say, the church does not save. But let me suggest to you that the church Jesus Christ purchased with his blood saves. It is the body of Christ and the head of it. Maybe let me put it in a better way. The church saves through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you continue to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, you will realize that people will flow into the church, and those in them will never also depart, and they'll be saved. In that way, the church saves through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Then the
next one, maybe the last one, is God's principle of equity. When we carry one another's burden, we are following God's principle of equity. When you talk of equity, we are talking about God saying that, well, I've given you enough to help your brother. Let me ask this question. What does Exodus chapter 12, verse 4 say about the use of the excess food from the first Passover? In the Passover command, he said, each household should take a lamb. And when you take the lamb, if it is too big for your family, did he say throw them away? No. He said, go and look for another family and share with them.
In the Passover,
so there was no over excess. God was not talking about doing away with the waste. He was talking about helping other and carrying one another in equity. What lesson, brethren, can we also draw? In Exodus chapter 16, verse 18, about the manna that God gave to the Israelites. The Bible says that people went, and some of them, because they had been hungry, they took a bucket and filled it full. Meanwhile, God said, one omer, a measure of a day's stomach, a man's stomach. They filled it full. Some also took very little. Interestingly, when they brought the measuring scale and they measured, the basket full, when they put it on, it was 1 kilo, for instance. Then the one that is 1 cup was also 1 kilo. Brethren, God is wonderful. He was teaching them a lesson. He said he created man for equity. Why do you want the abundance for? What are you going to use for? Every abundance should be used to carry the need of others. And so it was waste in the sight of God. So carry the basket full, but it is still that one kilo.
Oh, this kilo.
And this is a lesson we should learn. How does this God's principle of equity relate to Luke chapter 3, verse 11?
Luke, it is me saying you move to back to the same.
He said that if you have 2 coats, give one to the one who doesn't have it. The man with 2 tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. So it tells you that when we carry one another's burden, we are following God's principle of equity, and we shall be blessed. And the equity leads to bountiful. I ask myself, that little boy who was having 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, maybe he took it that for 3 days he was going to be with Jesus. He was going to feed on that. It was not enough. But when Jesus was asking who has something, he didn't hide it. Carrying one another's burden, he brought it out. And the Bible says that all the people, when you come the mail, over 5,000 people were satisfied, and they gathered 12 baskets full over. Matthew chapter 14, verse 15 to 21, and Matthew 15:32, another time 4,000, the same thing. Brethren, it is time for us to think. God loves us so much that what happened to the boy with the bread is what happens to us every day. When we carry one another's burden, there is abundance stored up for us in heaven. Sometimes we cannot see with our eyes. Sometimes the overflow also comes here physically. But the more it comes, he said, continue to carry one another's burden. And this is very important. Let me say this, that we will be ungrateful if we fail to recount how God has blessed this church to institute systems that will enhance carrying one another's burden among brethren. When I look at Dorcas House, for instance, it is one of, if you look at the whole world, churches of Christ and even denominations, very few churches practice such a thing. And so I thank God, we thank God that he has blessed this church with that wisdom. Again, if you look at the educational sponsorship fund that we have, People contribute towards it to help people, needy people who want to go to school and they can't make it. Again, if I put that, I know a lot of people who never told me, but the people who helped them will continue to broadcast how individuals have helped a lot of people in the church. Education-wise, some have become professors, etc. Without them, they wouldn't have
written there.
So I will be ungrateful if you don't talk about what wonderful men and women like you are doing in the Lord's church. But the challenge is this. Sometimes when you finish doing something, you think you are tired, you won't do again. And sometimes too, only few people are doing that, the rest don't participate. But I want to tell you, to encourage you, that you are losing your blessing if you don't take part. There is no better time than this time of world history, of economic
doldrum.
If you are not careful, you will think of yourself, my, because the economy is hard universally.
Oh yeah.
But I want to tell you that the more we face difficulties as individuals, the more there is the need to heighten the bond of carrying one another's burden. Maybe you will say that for me, I am the affected person, so I'm not part. Let they carry my burden. He didn't say only one side. He said one another. And so when your soul is wounded, the enemy takes advantage of it in all kinds of ways. And one of the ways is that to try to get you overly self-focused. He wants you to think about all the things that are wrong with you and everything that is bad in your life. He will try to fill your mind with only three words: me, myself, and I. But one of the ways God heals the soul is by helping us get our minds off ourselves and onto what we can do for other people. In fact, thinking of others, helping and supporting them are keys to healing and wholeness. We might say that helping others is the best way to help ourselves indeed. Brethren, when we read the words, bear one another's burden, it can seem like a difficult and weighty thing to do. But if we ask God to lead us, He will help us realize there are many ways to help people who are carrying heavy loads of life. Do you know a single mother who struggles financially? Can't you assist her? Do you know someone who is caring for an elderly parent day in and day out? And he has no time even to worship God? Can't you assist him? Do you have a friend struggling with illness and has even undergone operation? He needs to continue to go for redress at the hospital and they need transportation day and day out. Can't you do something? Somebody is sad psychologically. Can't you talk to him with the word of God? There are a lot of needs that you can carry as others carry yours. And so today, this is what we are saying. Carry one another's burden is a glorious principle from the Almighty God to the church. It lightens our burdens. It helps ourselves. We become the hands and feet of Jesus. We fulfill God's principle of equity and bountiful reward. And so we will never leave this carrying one another for anything else. If you are a visitor and you are visiting for the first time, this is the Lord's church, and we are speaking the language of the Lord. that carry one another's burden is only practiced fully in his church. If you go outside and do it, it is non-syllables. Because there won't be much reward placed for you in heaven because you have not obeyed Jesus Christ. That is why we are inviting you to come to Jesus through baptism. And today you will realize that you have been blessed because you did. Brethren in the Lord, carry on the burden of others. Find any means to do it. Rejoice in doing it. For in doing that, you will be surprised at how God will bless you. Blessings beyond imagination. In this world and the world to come. And we as Moses, Hur, and Aaron will win the battle against the Amalekites. And will enter the promised land. May the good Lord bless his words and grant us understanding in our hearts throughout our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.